happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and Ann's not here.
And I'm J.W. Walker.
This is the first show after Ann's retirement, but we're going to show you the wonderful celebration of her life that we had at the Julius Bar, the historic bar in Greenwich Village.
It was a lovely evening. We had the bar was packed. It spilled out onto the sidewalk. It was a really beautiful great. Coming together. Just people loved
Let's
Ann
go through
so
the
much.
Headlines.
Let's do it. So, and 30 years of service on Gay USA is celebrated at Julius Bar.
Trump's Department of Education will no longer track bullying against LGBTQ students.
A poll in Texas shows that white evangelicals are the moral minority.
Wait till you see this. The Republican candidate for governor of Colorado sells a course on battling gay demons.
I think he just came out. In Ohio, lots of drama in the governor's race and concerning their U.S. senator and U.S. House member.
Missouri Republicans threaten to defund a library over rainbow story time.
The fever, the Seattle storm, the war over trans rights heats up in the WNBA.
Brittany Griner is divorcing and Cynthia Nixon is leading a mass lesbian wedding.
The UK Labour Party's retreat on trans issues is costing them with labour unions.
Good. A Russian candidate for public office was persecuted for wearing a rainbow love T-shirt.
And at the International AIDS Conference, the U.S. Department of State displayed a map misidentifying all of the countries in Africa.
Oh, God. What a country we're under. Yeah, we did have a great time at Ann's retirement party. It was what a great room of activists and legendary people. I mean, I don't want to start going into the names because there were so many.
It was wonderful. I mean, Ann is so universally beloved. There were so many people who are viewers of the program that just, showed up to support Ann, introduced themselves,
right.
Which I think that Ann really appreciated, just sort of meeting some more viewers.
She did, and she even said so. So let's run a little bit of her speech from the bar, on the top of the bar at Julius.
This has been, all of this, such a privilege. And I wish I could just name all of you here because you're all fantastic people, and I'm so honored that you've come. But doing the show has been the most wonderful outlet for me. It has allowed me to combine my activism and my journalism into a package where, blessedly, we get to say whatever we want on the air. Anything, except a little,
seven words.
Yeah. But no one, we have no boss. And no one comes after us and tells us what to do. And so we get to do it every week, making it up as we go along, with notes, with research and everything. And it has given us a voice that people tell me has inspired them all over the world. We hear from viewers everywhere. And that has just kept me going for 30 years because it is so inspiring to me that people crave this information and crave the attitude that we have. Someone here tonight just told me that their straight friends only watch news on Gay USA.
Wow.
Because of our attitude and our approach and our insights and our analysis of the news.
You don't lie.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I said on the last show that there are two things that were important to me in doing the show: truth and insight. And that was always my goal, is for us to tell the truth and to be able to explain things in a way that taught people why it was important to pay attention and how to understand what was going on. And I think we've accomplished that week after week. Not perfectly. But that has been a thrill every week. The research has been just so onerous, and I am just too old to keep doing it. But, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and opening my computer and then closing it at midnight is not a way I think I should continue to live at this age. But it's so gratifying. It's so amazingly gratifying. And I always say to people thank me for my activism. And I think to myself, you have no idea how much this is for me, because it feels so good to do it. It's so much fun. It's so interesting. It is fascinating work. And I really wish more people would see that so that they would get out in the streets and do it.
Yeah. Yes, hear, hear.
And that's the message I always want to send, that this is, people should do it for their own satisfaction, because then the ripple effect is just amazing. And I think that's proved by all of you showing up tonight, which just, you know, delights me and makes me very, very, very happy.
Well, we have 30 years of footage of Anne. We could put her into every show and do a history lesson.
You have enough to make an AI model of her that we can just sort of use
forever. We do, and me too. And we can all retire. We have another picture from the event outside the Julius Bar. If you could bring that up. It's a there you are, Jay. But I mean, these are the people who are going to be hosting the show with me. Chris Cooper, Jay. Bill Bauman's in the back, and Kathy Marino Thomas, and there's Anne, and then Mick Meenan, who will be here next week. All excellent, great journalists and activists.
Excellent, excellent. We're really glad. And you'll see that several of us in that picture are wearing the same shirt that you saw Anne wearing, which is the iconic photograph of Anne being arrested after protesting in the middle aisle in St. Patrick's.
No, it's not. This is at the St. Patrick's Parade,
and
because Irish gay groups were excluded. That was in the street, and she was arrested. And, of course, exactly is one of her favorite phrases.
Exactly. And the photo was taken by Saskia Scheffer.
Who was there last night.
Who was there last night, and we sold these T-shirts to people. We sold out. And, you know, stay tuned. There may be opportunities for viewers to obtain one of these shirts in the future.
Okay. Well, let's get to some of the bad news. Yeah. And thank you, Anne, by the way, forever.
Thank you, Anne.
The U.S. Education Department says they're no longer going to track bullying of trans and non-binary kids, because they want to comply with the president's executive orders ending legal recognition of non-cisgendered individuals, essentially. It's just grotesque.
Well, it's just part of this sort of long-term project, 2025 goal of erasure.
Yes.
Of not – if you don't identify – whatever minority, class, whatever, then you can't track bigotry against them. You can't track discrimination against them by not identifying them.
But here's the thing, especially to the young people out there. You know, there are many state and local laws covering this that you can, in terms of protecting you from bullying. They certainly have it here in New York.
Yes.
And, you have rights still. You can form a gay straight alliance or LGBT, whatever. You have federal protection for that. They can't stop that.
No.
All right.
No. And well, you've got state protection. And they're doing everything they can to stop it. But we have state protection.
Don't give up. And the Human Rights Campaign Foundation is suing the Trump administration's Office of Personnel Management for prohibiting health insurance coverage for gender-affirming care under the federal employee health benefits and public service plans.
Which is absurd and pointless, and it's mostly going to affect people with trans kids and non-binary kids who are getting puberty blockers or other things like that, because, you know, under the Affordable Care Act, people can be covered under their parents' health care until the age of 26. So it'll even go beyond that to possibly surgeries, and, you know, as for people as adults.
So another lawsuit over this. Yeah. And again, don't forget the federal government does provide gender affirming care to soldiers who need more testosterone, or they say they do. How about this Todd Blanche business? How depressing is this that there's no Republicans really who are going to stand up to him and they're going to let him be our attorney general? It's grotesque.
Well, the thing about it is it was such a big show. know about Todd Blanche, but the reality is he's the acting attorney general, and if he were not voted in to be the permanent attorney general, Trump would have just left him in there as an acting attorney general because he was Trump's former lawyer in private practice during the interregnum of the Biden years, and he's chiefly responsible for blocking and misredacting the Epstein files, and protecting
keeping
all of the
Trump's
name out, and keeping a bunch of rich guys who were part of the Epstein conspiracy of trafficking out of the public eye. So.
Absolutely. And the other thing, of course, the other what was supposed to be a sticking point was get rid of this sweetheart deal that Trump got for $100 million to get the IRS office back. Now, that's reparations for the Trump family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was wronged by the IRS, so I deserve this. Of course, they totally oppose reparations for any other injustice going back to slavery.
Exactly.
But I mean, what about all the, you know, LGBTQ people who have been mistreated and prosecuted? What about reparations for us? And I mean that. Where are the reparations for that?
Well, you know, and particularly, especially during these last few years, trans people. And what we see happening to trans people because of state and federal laws, I think it will be really interesting if some of the powerful gays in the Democratic Party, the LGBs in the Democratic Party who have money, who have power, who have influence within the party, you know, might want to start thinking about affecting the party's platform going into 2028 to do some reparations for trans people, but also for immigrants, for people who
Absolutely.
Are here going through legal processes, people who are not violating the law, people who literally the laws were changed under Trump to make their presence here illegal when prior to Trump they were here legally. They deserve reparations, too. They're thrown into these concentration camps, these gulags, where
and
they're trapped.
And some of them are dying.
And some of them are dying, yes, because of being withheld medication, being withheld medical care, and also most likely due to violence.
Well, it was encouraging. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about politics later, but the guy who won the Michigan primary for U.S. Senate, whatever you think of him, else you think of him, El Sayed, Abdul El-Sayed, a narrow win, but he won. And in his acceptance speech, he said, "I am not going to let you divide us by sexual orientation and gender identity." He put it right out there in the beginning.
It's really heartening that he won, because there was at least $60 million spent in outside money campaigning against him on behalf of his opponent,
right.
Congresswoman Haley Stevens. And it's just, you know, it's telling that no matter how much the attacks against, and he's not even DSA, but these attacks that quote-unquote centrist Democrats are making against DSA candidates and against progressive candidates, they're going to end up smacking the Democratic right. Party in the face. They need to learn that these folks are actually closer to the Democratic Party that made all the big gains of the civil rights movement.
Go back to the New Deal under Franklin Roosevelt, for God's sake. What do you think Medicare is? Socialism.
Exactly.
Social Security, socialism. All these kinds of things that people value and would never give up.
Right. And, you know, the modern centrist DNC is further away from that than the DSA and these progressives. And so they're going to have to get with the program.
Okay. We've told you that the Pentagon is, forcing transgender service members out. A lawyer who's representing 600 trans troops for free, she's lost 26 of the first 27 cases. Mm. And she said the boards that are supposed to review these firings, they don't even let them testify sometimes.
Right. They just it's show trials, really, because
cruelty.
This is Pete Hegseth's military. And what Pete Hegseth says goes.
And then it's Trump's prison system.
Yeah.
It is lawlessly moving transgender women in federal custody into segregated housing because they've been ordered not to move them into the men's housing yet. So we're just going to isolate you.
Yeah.
This is, again, a violation of court orders.
And, you know, and it's
lawlessness.
It's lawlessness, exactly. And it's solving a problem that doesn't exist.
All right. Nice to see stories about the infighting at the Fascist Heritage Foundation, who are the authors of Project 2025. They can't get along with each other. Turning Point USA is losing a lot of leadership, a lot of membership under Erica Kirk. Always nice to read these stories, but they're still in charge.
They're still in charge, and they're still incredibly powerful.
Yes.
And, you know, and they said something. They said that Project 2025 was probably about 60% along the way in terms of policy that the Trump administration, I think it's actually further than that.
And they're all horrible things.
They're destroying everything about our democracy that we value. Right. And you know, another thing for the Democratic platform is maybe some House Un-American Activities Committee hearings on.
Do they still have QAC?
They can make up a
Do
new QAC.
Do they still have that committee?
I think we need a new QAC to go after the Project 2025
people. Well, we've got to get creative. I mean, you do hear people saying, hey, Democrats, if you get in, get rid of the filibuster, make Washington, D.C. a state, you know,
expand
the Supreme Court. You can't. People say put term limits on them. You'd have to change the Constitution for that, but you could expand the court.
You could expand the court.
And just do it. And yes, they'll come back and do it again, but people might like what a new court does.
Yeah. And, well,
and put John Roberts and all that crowd out of business.
Yeah. And once you're in power, you can create rules, you can create legislation, and you can pass acts that will make it that much more difficult to undo it. It's like all of these things that the Democrats could have done during these brief 2-year periods when they had a Democratic president, a Democratic Congress, you know, both houses of the Congress, and they didn't do them, and now it made it that much easier for Trump to just completely rip all of our rights away.
Jay, you're always out in the street with Rise and Resist and Gays Against Guns. You have hope for our country?
I always have hope for our country.
Yeah.
Because I believe in the American people, I think. I think that we have very rich, very powerful people that are a shockingly small minority that get a lot of stuff done because of power and influence that
Elon Musk is going to spend now $125 billion on the elections.
Yeah. You know, and.
Or million? I don't want to.
No, I think 120 million.
Yeah,
120 million to try to sway elections. But we've seen, like we just saw with Abdul El-Sayed, that you know, a certain political action committee called AIPAC spent $60 million against him.
People
and he's still narrowly
won. Power beats money.
Every single time. Every single time.
He had all those volunteers. Mamdani in New York had tens of thousands. A lot of these quote-unquote mainstream Democrats, they don't excite people, and people don't work for them in the streets.
They rely on
the consultants, you know, cranks like James Carville and people like that, and they don't do the work.
They don't do the work. They don't go out and meet the people. They don't listen to the people.
Right. Yeah. All right. The Defense Department they're now considering ending tenure for civilian employees who teach at the service academies, and because they don't really teach people how to be great warriors, basically. It's just...
Well, and they just don't want soldiers thinking. They want them to follow orders without any thought. They want to turn them into mindless drones.
They're going to go after a line-by-line review of all curricula used at these places. I mean, they're turning these institutions, which in some cases had great academic reputations.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, you teach a person to be a well-rounded individual, not a machine, and, you get better service from them because they're smart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and this sort of dovetails with the whole... the video that the electeds did, last year, telling people, not to follow unlawful orders.
Right.
You know, they don't want that. They don't want an officer class that won't follow unlawful orders. And so they want to.
That's fascism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So a follow up on the Scouting America and their diversity initiatives. And we don't run the video yet, but we told you that, James Dale, who was tried to serve in the Boy Scouts after he was out, he lost his case. But, you know, he was encouraging the scouts to use the decision in his case to say, hey, you're allowed to do what you want. You're a private organization. Mm-hmm. And if the Defense Department is coming in and saying, get rid of girls, you know, get rid of LGBTQ scouts, you don't have to do that. So the case is – but, again, they had the National Jamboree.
Yeah.
This, and all the booths for – girls and for LGBTQ, all these people of color, they're all shut down.
They had to shut them
down. So James, we spoke to him at the benefit, he said he's going to go after them again.
So James Dale, you
unearthed a memo from the Department of Defense, Hegseth, and all they're doing against LGBTQ and trans youth and all that kind of stuff. And now you've filed another suit?
We got the memo. We got it in a record 3 weeks. He crumbled like a cookie, which is kind of amazing. But the interesting thing is that this isn't affecting just trans kids and queer people. It's affecting kids of color and girls. It's affecting everybody. This anti-DEI push that this administration is forcing down our throats is un-American. But there's more to the story. So we got the memo, but we wouldn't know how we got there. We know what happened, what kind of pressure campaign is taking place in the Pentagon right now against organizations like the Boy Scouts of America, maybe the Daughters of the American Revolution. I don't know. They're pressuring everybody. We should all be worried.
And so what does this suit say?
This suit says basically we want to know what the thought process was to get to the discrimination they're applying now. We know how we got to a place where they're kind of attacking girls, kids of color, and trans kids, and gay kids. How did they get there? What's the thinking behind that? What kind of America are they trying to make?
He's doing great work.
So there are a couple of pieces on this. One is, since Pete Hegseth became the Secretary of War and started issuing all of these weird rules, like the soldiers have to be clean shaven, you know, all sorts of like interesting things. You know, there's been a lot of rumors about some sublimated homosexuality on his part and how he likes his men around him. But the second piece of this is that the Support Our Scouts Act of 2005, which was signed into law by George W. Bush in 2006, literally prohibits the federal government from removing support from the Boy Scouts. So he would be violating that act that was in, you know, that was passed by Congress and signed by the president. It's never been rescinded. It was, you know, it's part of the military appropriations bill that year. So when the Scouts just sort of knuckled under him, it made no sense. Because the reality is, the military needs the Scouts far more than the Scouts need the military. The reason that the military has this relationship with scouting is because Scouts are great fodder to
they're groomed to be soldiers.
They're groomed to go into the military academies, like we were just talking about West Point and Annapolis. It is a conduit, it is a pipeline into the military. So the military needs these sort of well trained young kids, not just sort of like the kid that drops out of school and has no other prospects, and so they go into the military. These Scouts are the cream of the crop. They're trained and they're, you know, well prepared.
Were you a scout?
I was a scout. I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout. I only left scouting when I got an after school and weekend job when I was 12. Well, and
thank you for your service. They didn't get you in the military.
They didn't get me in the military because I stopped when I was 12 to work after school.
Well, I mean, it was heartbreaking at the Jamboree because you had these young people show up. There was a trans female, Layla Grace, who was going to Layla's an assistant scoutmaster who was going to staff the space for LGBTQ and allied scouts. She says, I thought of just not going, but I went and I tried to be a visible presence through wearing things and
wearing
stuff
rainbows
like that to
and,
other people.
Yes. And, you know, and a lot of scouts did not go. And that's the chilling part. You know, there's always that sort of decision that you make when a space decides to deem itself unwelcoming to you but has no real right to keep you out. It's do you go and stand proudly in your truth, or do you say, no, I'm not going to inflict that kind of emotional damage on myself. I'm not going to
That's why I left the Catholic Church.
Yeah, there you go.
I was in dignity for many years. All right, so shall we move on?
Yes, let's do.
By the way, in the elections yesterday in Missouri, you know, the Republicans tried, they tried to put up a constitutional amendment that said if citizens bring an initiative, right, it has to pass in all of the congressional,
districts
or it doesn't pass. This is their chance because Missouri voters came out for abortion in a referendum, right? And so this stratagem was rejected by 85% of the voters. North Carolina Republican Chuck Edwards, those darned heterosexuals dropped out after more exposure, the House, you know, Ethics Committee about his treatment of women. So he's back to pick up that seat.
We can pick up that seat. That's
all right, let's put up this chart about the Texas U.S. Senate race. It's a little hard to see on the screen, but to read entirely, if you have that, Rich, it shows that the group. This is a Fox News poll. The group most supportive of the corrupt adulterer, Republican Ken Paxton, is
white evangelicals.
Yes. That makes everybody else the moral majority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the most, the people least moral, least respecting public morals of any group on that list.
Which is something that we kind of already knew, right? You know,
their support for Trump.
Well, their support for Trump, but also
they don't seem to love Jesus.
They don't seem to love Jesus, and the people that are it keeps happening every single time. You always find this out: the people that are the loudest, the most strident, anti-gay, anti-women's rights, whatever, they always end up having some really deep, dark secret.
But supporting these horrible people like Ken Paxton is a real monster.
Yeah.
And Trump, of course.
Yeah, and a criminal. I mean, you know, aside from his morals, he's a criminal.
Exactly. I mean, he was indicted and he cut a deal. And he was impeached, but they didn't convict him in the Texas Senate. Now let's talk about Ohio. You've heard a lot about this.
Messy, Andy. Messy.
Let's just try to do it quickly. There's a congressman who's accused of beating his wife and other women, and his name is Miller. And they're trying to get him out of the race. That's him on the right, Max Miller, and his ex-father-in-law,
or soon to be ex-father-in-law. I think they're
they haven't divorced.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, he's married to Senator Marino's daughter, who was accusing him of abuse. He was silent on all this scandal, and he finally came out and said he doesn't belong anywhere, and I don't want my granddaughter near him, and all these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like Miller was threatening to expose Marino as gay. He said, you know, the charges against me aren't true, and the only reason you're speaking out now is to hide from your own media circus.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that. Now, we reported 2 years ago that Marino was exposed as using gay
hookup acts. It was a grinder, like Sir was saying. Looking for hot young guy, looking for young guys for good times.
He said, I was just fooling around with a friend, and we were just looking. No. And he's the guy who went after Tony Fauci saying, Who the F do you think you are?
Yeah.
Who are you, Bernie Marino? Yeah. That's what we want to know.
You know, the hypocrisy that exists throughout the Republican Party, the party of family values, the party of morality, the party of strict religious adherence, it's all a sham. And it always was a sham.
Right.
It always was a sham. I mean, you remember the stories about Nancy Reagan that came out after she was in office.
Excuse me?
About her talents and the backseat.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, while she was trying to be the sort of moral face of the nation, and then Lady Lawford came out and said, "No, honey, I remember you when you were in Hollywood."
We could go through
everyone.
We could go through the affairs of almost every president.
Everyone, exactly.
Except maybe Jimmy Carter.
Not Jimmy Carter. He had lust in his heart, but nowhere else.
Old playboy, I have lust in my heart, and that But he was very true to
Rosalynn.
Talk about South Carolina.
Oh, you're talking about Miss Lindsay's sister?
Yes, Darlene.
Darlene, and she obviously, She was given the seat that Lindsay vacated when he vacated this mortal coil, and she immediately, out of the gate, her first campaign ad because she has to run in this emergency primary in on August 11th in South Carolina for the Republican nomination to run in November. And she immediately starts coming out with these anti-trans, pro-choice, anti-trans statements in the in this ad. So she's just sort of putting her chit down that she is anti-trans. She didn't say anything anti-gay, though. I guess maybe in deference to her brother's or to her late brother's memory.
Well, she does have. She's at 27% of the polls, in mm-hmm. and that is the lead in the Republican primary. But that means everybody. There's a lot of people against her,
yeah.
And so she, and there would be a runoff if she doesn't get 50%. So she may not come through.
Yeah, she may.
There was a lot of antagonism towards Lindsay at the end. You know. Yeah.
And there's, you know, and there is already a Democratic candidate, Dr. Annie Andrews, who won the Democratic primary there. She's a pediatrician. She was an educator.
You think a Democrat can win in South Carolina?
Honey, I think that right now the backlash against Trump is so harsh that anything is possible.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
All right. And what's going on the Ohio governor's race? We told you about the Democratic nominee, Amy Acton, right? She made these anti-trans statements, and like she was trying to position herself towards, I don't know, the right, the center. And so she doesn't do it. Her aides have a Zoom meeting with activists, and they exclude a lot of the trans activists.
Yeah, it's specifically like a trans person who is actually, I think, also running for office in the legislature,
yes.
And who was a very prominent trans activist. And so one of the LGBTs who were allowed into the Zoom got that activist on their phone and held up the phone so that she could speak and be included in the meeting.
Right.
And then Amy Acton just sort of exited, right?
I don't think she was ever in the meeting.
She wasn't even in the meeting. Okay.
It was her aides. And that's a disgrace too.
Right.
That she can't just sit down with people and meet with them.
And you know, we keep seeing this sort of, again, with the centrist Democrats, we keep seeing this willingness to throw trans people under the bus. And, you know, and this is a repeated sort of thing. You know, I always say the Republican Party over the last 35, 40 years has been, you know, for every two steps to the right the Republican Party makes, the centrist Democrats pull the Democrats one step to the right to find a new center. And we're seeing that acted out again with the way that some of these centrist Democrats are treating trans people and with things like Josh Gottheimer in New Jersey coming out, just sort of like spewing all of this bile against Democratic socialists and against, you know, a lot of the candidates in the race. And it is so damaging to the Democratic Party.
Well, speaking of damaging, this was supposed to be damage control, and it's not the way to do it. My recommendation, and I used to be a political consultant, is sit down with, you know, the viable activists in person and get all this done and do a new ad saying that you've found religion.
Yeah.
And then the Republican is a Trump ally, Vivek Ramaswamy. You remember running for president last time. He goes to a group of right-wing students who he mm-hmm. thinks is going to be a good audience, mm-hmm. and they boo
and
him.
And they boo him.
They boo him off the stage because, he said something really stupid. He says, truth of the matter is, no matter what happens, in whichever direction we go, people of my generation have already made it. We're going to be fine. It's going to be your generation that pays the price. And then they just said, we don't want to hear your BS talking points. You're a cretin. So he's got trouble on the right.
Yeah, he's, you know, well, and the right is constantly splintering around so many of these.
Who knows what they even believe in?
Exactly, because, you know, they get their token brown people. Like Vivek Ramaswamy, but then while they're also ginning up white supremacy among youth people and like Turning Point like that, and you think that's going to work? I don't get it.
Well, I don't think it's going to work for Victor Marx. He gives a bad name to Marxism.
Mm.
He is the Republican candidate for governor of Colorado. He won a primary. He's a complete wacko. He sells a $99 course on how to battle gay demons, how you can cast out your addictions to homosexual lifestyle, to cheating, to murder, and to the whole nine yards.
You know, which is essentially coming out. I mean, he's come out as being a closeted homosexual because clearly.
All right. You heard it here first. Well, you know, gay USA.
Well, and of course, the current governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, is a gay man.
Yes.
And so the Republican Party knows that he's incredibly popular. He's an incredibly popular governor, and in Colorado is an incredibly Democratic state.
With a little trouble at the end when he let that election denier out of the prison.
Out of prison, a little trouble. But so I think that they think that this is that state's a lost cause, and so nobody tried to run against this idiot.
Well, the Democrat who will beat him is Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser. Barring a scandal, keep your nose clean, Phil. All right. Everybody read about how the charges were dropped against David Hearn this week in the reflecting pool case because the prosecutor said the work was botched. But this is, again, a corruption of the Justice Department. Jeanine Pirro, she could have been disbarred if she kept going,
with this case. Yeah.
And so she pulled back.
And there's literally precedent within this Trump administration of lawyers being disbarred, of disbarment proceedings beginning. So, rightly so.
But, six other people have been arrested on vandalism charges for something they didn't do in this case.
I think they're dropping the charges on all of them.
So.
Yeah, David Hearn was just the most famous, but, and the interesting thing is that it's this whole thing with the Interior Department. What they're saying, I don't know whether it's true or not. They're saying that the Interior Department had information that they did not share with the Justice Department.
Yes.
I don't know if I buy that. I think that Trump said it was vandalized out loud in front of cameras, and then she went out there and said it was vandalized.
And then they got an indictment
because Trump wanted it to be vandalized, because otherwise it's embarrassing that they did a no-bid contract with the people that did the thing, and they did a botched job, which is the story of this administration.
Grotesque.
Yeah.
Don't let them build that arch. The Congressional Black Caucus has condemned the Trump's administration's decision to eliminate the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's longstanding requirement that employers submit workforce demographic data.
Yeah, and this is that erasure that we were talking about earlier with the bullying piece. They don't want to have any record of what demographics are. That way, you can't prove racism if you can't. You can't prove racist.
I used to be a human rights commissioner in New York, and one of the ways you decided a case was there a disparate impact on the group? You're in the group. There's nobody in the advertising industry who's black, and so there seems to be discrimination, and that's disparate impact.
Mm-hmm.
That proves that they're discriminatory.
Yeah.
You can't just say, well, the right one didn't come along and we don't have any, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So, but the Trump administration doesn't want anybody to be able to use this in a civil rights case.
And that's another piece straight out of Project 2025.
Okay. Nice to see the retired General Charles Q. Brown, who was first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs, speaking out about what's going on now in the military, because he says it really is hurting the military, all the stuff that Trump is doing. You can read more about that. I like this case in Texas. We've told you about now you have to put the Ten Commandments up.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools in Houston are resisting this and all that kind of stuff, right? And so the initial lawsuits were separate church and state. You can't do this. But these parents are suing under the Republican passed Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act and another one which says that you cannot interfere with a parent's religious practice and what they want their children to know about religion and all these things.
Okay.
I mean, it's very similar to parents' rights. I don't want my kid exposed to transgender or whatever. They're saying, I don't want my kids exposed to a religion that I don't agree with.
Exactly. I think it's called hoisting by one's own petard.
Yes, hoist by one's own petard. Absolutely. So I think that's got a good chance. The Missouri Republicans are threatening to defund a library over a rainbow story time. They have made such a deal about this. I mean, the book they went after was Rainbowsaurus, which is just a colorful book with some rainbow colors in it.
If that library can partner with the author and publisher of that book to do a bunch of merch with Rainbow Saurus as the mascot for that library, I think they'll be able to overcome the dearth of state spending that they might lose.
Well, the library spokesperson says, we never wavered from holding the Rainbow Story Time as planned. We weren't going to do anything illegal, and we're standing up to it. So
good for them.
Well,
good for them.
Unless they lose their money. All right. Florida, a divided federal appeals court has ruled Florida can enforce the state's Protection of Children Act, which does ban, it was to go after drag queen story hour,
right?
Basically. Right. And they say it's lewd. We say it's not. It's fun for kids, and it's not sexual. And so we'll see how that plays out. Oh, a professor at Florida State College was fired because she includes a story in when she teaches writing called Bettering Myself, narrated by a teacher who drinks to excess, uses cocaine, and discusses sex with her students. And she says, look, this is about learning to, how do you relate to a
unlikable character?
Unlikable narrator. She's used it for years, but now one student expressed mild discomfort. Mm. This is how things change in this country now. And so she gets fired. I mean,
it's absurd. It's absurd. And, you know, we keep seeing this situation of worrying about one. And it's, you know, it's generally speaking, always one straight, white, cisgender, Christian student who feels uncomfortable. And then the entire world has to be reinvented around that one.
Talk about
student.
Snowflakes. Now, look. I have more than mild discomfort with the stories that we have to read and convey every week on this. I mean, but I don't complain to the producer of Gay USA, because it would be me. The professor, by the way, is suing the school.
Good for them.
Huh?
They'll win.
I hope you're right.
I think they will.
The West Virginia. So this guy's running a food bank. He's a big Christian, and his shelves are bare, so he advertises, can you help me out? Here he is. His name is Alvin Christian. But he got offers from help from organizations that weren't even gay groups, right? They just were supportive of gay people. Yeah. I can't take your food.
Yeah.
I'd rather my people starve. So, I mean, come on. He was serving 800 families daily, and you know, but he calls gays an abomination, and that's the way he wants it.
And they'll probably will end up being a GoFundMe for him that a bunch of right wing people will send him tons of money.
Can't we all get along and just feed each other?
It seems like it was a publicity stunt.
All right, let's try to get into this WNBA thing.
Oh, so much.
So let's well, all right. So there is this one player on the She's on the Seattle Storm.
She's on the
Fever.
Yes,
she's on the Fever, and people came to Seattle Storm game to support her because she's anti-trans.
Right,
and so one of the owners of the Seattle Storm went over to her. This older woman in the picture there. Oh wait, I don't know. It's another picture. Those are the kids who. The older woman, Celeste Keaton, who's the co-owner, and she said, "Come on, what are you doing? You know this kind of stuff to this player."
To these young girls.
It's a good thing you're here. Yes, you go on with it. What happened?
Well, yeah. So there's a player for the Fever named
Sophie Cunningham,
who has come out and said these really nasty.
She's
like,
the one on the right there.
Things. She's the one on the right. And so the Indiana Fever is playing the Seattle Storm, and so this was a coordinated effort. There was a protest, I think, outside the arena with a bunch of people holding signs supporting Cunningham,
selling XXXY merchandise.
And then these young people came in, had got tickets, and so they came in and they held their signs. And so it was, this sort of fraught moment, and the owner of the team, of the Seattle Storm, co-owner, called them out. And the end result is that she was suspended from the next five.
The co-owner was suspended
for the next five games for calling out these sort of hateful kids who were just plants. I mean, they were agents provocateurs in the stands at this game. That was, you know, they weren't sort of some sweet, innocent kids who just happened to turn up with these signs. This was a coordinated effort. And, granted, you should keep your cool.
Okay. So this has led to other things. And then, you know, before the game, the Seattle Storm center, Stephanie Dolson, mm-hmm. wore a shirt that said trans rights are human rights. This is not a picture from the game, but she does wear this. She's out and she wears these T-shirts because she's supporting these kids. And then on Sunday in Minneapolis, fans wore T-shirts that read, "Trans kids belong in sports." And so there were others with signs saying, "Love is truth. Thank you, Sophie." So it's become quite a fight. And the Lynx coach, Cheryl Reeve, sported a "Trans kids belong" T-shirt and met with Cunningham at midcourt, where they talked very animatedly about this. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Sophie Cunningham, who was a lousy player, by the way,
fouls people, like grabbed another player around her neck and doesn't score many points,
but is just going to become, you know,
another cause celeb, another Caitlin Collins
in the right wing,
exactly,
blogosphere. All right, and then there's Hadestown, the big show on Broadway.
I just want to quick,
go ahead,
Caitlin Clark, not Caitlin Collins.
Oh. Right.
These people with these alliterative names, I get confused.
Yes, indeed. All right. Okay. So, Hadestown, great musical on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And they had cast a Disney star, Gino Surgers, in the role of Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And then anti-trans stuff was discovered, and they in his postings.
His YouTube channel.
Yeah. And, you know, they didn't say what it was. I've read about what it is, and that's what I'm going to talk about. And they said, "We're parting ways. We can't really go on like this." He wrote things like, "I don't see transgender people as being oppressed. I'm not wearing a dress,"
mm-hmm.
which is a stand, Gino, that is not going to get you very far in show business.
Show business. Because
there are a lot of roles where men have to wear dresses. Anyway, he said his most egregious videos liken trans people to people pretending that they are service animals in hopes of receiving discounts on airlines. It doesn't even make any sense, but it's just nuts. And so he's taken down all the posts, and the advice to him is sit down with some trans people, learn what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little rehabilitation tour and get back into business.
Well, but it seems as though this was a real stance of his, and that he's a very sort of toxically masculine straight guy.
Oh.
And there's
in show business,
and there's another.
There's a bunch of them, I guess.
And there are issues apparently with the person who does all the casting for Hadestown and Moulin Rouge. Because of issues with having cast Boy George in Moulin Rouge, and there's another person cast in the Hadestown touring production that had apparently a long history of sort of violent sexual behavior toward women, and so it's a sort of a bigger story than that. It's sort of like these sort of toxic males sort of infesting these shows.
We're running out of time. Okay. I guess we're gonna. Okay. And we should also mention that Anna Wintour's in a lot of trouble for dedicating the new fashion costume institute to Galliano, the big anti-Semite. There's a lot of protest about that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brittany Griner has filed sadly for, well, I don't know, sadly, maybe they're very happy, filed from divorce from wife Cheryl after 8 years. They met at Baylor University, and Cheryl was very supportive to her when she was locked up in Russia.
Yeah, but that kind of trauma, though, can do a number on your head, you know, on both sides, on being outside and, trying to go through all the emotions of helping the person, being on the inside in a foreign prison. You know, it's difficult for a marriage to survive after a couple has gone through.
Well,
all that.
Can you survive a mass lesbian wedding?
I could not.
Cynthia Nixon is going to officiate at the largest all-women wedding and renewal in February in St. Petersburg. She must have the power to do that. And they've done it before with smaller groups. And reminds me of Sun Myung Moon and Madison Square Garden, it does. You know, a little bit. I mean, but I don't know. It might be a nice thing to see.
And Cynthia Nixon's just the best. Like, you know, you got to love Cynthia Nixon. Sure. She's good, you know. And the fact that they're doing it in Florida, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure Governor DeSantis is not going to be pleased about that. So. Okay.
They'll try to ban it. And sad story about Perez Hilton, the gossip columnist.
Oh, this is really, it was really disturbing. I was on Threads last night. And
what
I,
happened?
And I heard that, you know, he crashed out on TikTok, and I didn't know what that meant. And people were saying, oh, don't watch the video. And so, of course, I had to go and watch the video. I had to go to X
okay?
and watch the video. It was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my entire life. He was self-harming live on camera. He was nude, and he was cutting himself, either with a blade or all over his body. He was drenched in blood.
He's had a lot of health problems lately.
He's had a lot. He was hospitalized twice, once for sepsis and once for, I think, a pneumonia or a bronchitis kind of thing. His children were fortunately not in the home with him, but people watching his live called 911. The police came. The paramedics showed up. There was a bit of a standoff for a while where he wouldn't let them in, but eventually they gained access and he was taken to a hospital. So okay. We hope that he's going to be okay.
And then we tell you about the bad gays as well. A terrible story out of New York City. A Manhattan psychotherapist was arrested on charges of raping a 16-year-old transgender boy under his care. His name is Yap, Y-H-A-P.
That's right.
Get his last name. He's Remington Yap, 47. He specializes in supposedly trying to help LGBTQ people and other marginalized groups, but this is apparent. Now the police department is saying, if you think you've been abused by this, if you were abused by this guy, we think there may be other victims.
But what's also really upset me about this is he was allowed to bail out. While the police is saying we think that he might be a serial sexual assaulter that's assaulting children. Then they let him bail out.
Well, you can be a law and order guy when you want to, Jay.
I can.
I'm thinking of the Berlin guy who committed all the problems in Berlin, you know, who ran the car, killed and injured 29 people.
Yeah.
They knew all about him, and he was 21 years old, and they kept letting him out. And now they're talking about changing their laws over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we don't believe in oppressive detention. And
but if someone's a threat, there's always a standard. If someone is a threat to the society, then they need to be protected. Society is protected.
We want to mourn the loss of Vicky Heather Wickham, an English talent manager and songwriter whose behind the scenes work helped shape the careers of Dusty Springfield, who was there on the left in that picture.
Right.
Dusty's on the left.
She
for 60 years, her partner was Nona Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, so look, we don't have a lot of time to talk about her. She has a storied career in the business, tremendous work, and we'll link to her obituary in our email.
Yeah, and our condolences to Nona.
Yeah. Created a lot of hits. 60 years with Nona Hendrix. All right. In international news, the out gay Bev Craig of the Labour Party is the new mayor of Manchester. Now, she was the first out gay councillor in the city just a couple of years ago, and now they're electing a gay mayor. She's replacing the guy, Andy Burnham, who became the prime minister.
Prime minister.
And
so
she's also an unapologetic leftist. And she's Labour Party, green, but, you know, Reform Party was gaining so much ground.
So much traction.
And she beat them.
Yeah. And, I think there's a pushback against that Reform Party, which is good.
Amsterdam had their Pride parade. They do it on the canal. One of the floats was this. You have a comment on this. It's Putin and Trump kissing.
Yeah. Well, there was just recently an article in LGBTQ Nation by Fafix Collington that was titled Making Gay Jokes About Republicans is Homophobic and Counterproductive. And there is this sort of, you know, back and forth sort of dialogue about, like, what's too far. And so this sort of reminded me of that.
I was never fond of all the depictions of Lindsey Graham as Miss Pitapat from Gone with the Wind and those kinds of things. There is an element of
of homophobia to it. But, you know, it's that other piece of outing someone who's constantly doing anti-gay things, and it's a very difficult
put the
question.
Picture back up, because on the bottom there is the out-gay prime minister, Rob Jetton. He's there in the center in the white, right? Him? Yeah. Is that him?
Yeah. Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
I think so. Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, literally the hottest prime minister in the world.
Now.
I'm saying it, Andy.
And then in Amsterdam, this is something that's going around the world. They do the Zero Flags Project. We have a little video about
One of the most powerful things at World Pride in Amsterdam. From the outside, they just look like flags. But these 63 flags represent countries where being gay or gender diverse is still punishable by law. It is called the Zero Flags Project because the goal is simple, that one day there should be no flags here at all. This is a reminder that for millions of LGBTQ plus people, visibility can still come with real costs, and all of us should not stop fighting until this space is empty.
So there are a lot of countries not up there, like Russia and Turkey and the United States, which do a lot of oppression of gay people, especially Russia.
When the video starts,
because it's only about sodomy laws.
Sodomy laws specifically. Okay.
What did you say?
No, because I can swear that I see the United States flag at the very beginning of that video.
We don't have the sodomy laws.
I know, but it looks like I see the stripes and I see a field of blue stars. But
you're
I
saying things.
We'll see. I'm seeing things. I'm okay.
And then there's this. Speaking of Russia, they really are oppressive. This guy, Danil Nyanov, he's running for office, a local office in Russia, and he wears this T-shirt. It's in rainbow colors and it says love.
Yeah.
But this is enough. They threw him a 10-day prison sentence, and you're barred from running for office in this country because of this. Wow. Being in Russia these days.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you can also get sent to the front very easily and die.
That's true.
All right. UK's Labour Party has moved to the right on trans issues, and it's costing them. They had at their annual women's conference, they wouldn't let trans people speak, so a lot of the labor unions pulled out. You know, labor was a labor party. Unions, they formed the party.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're turning them off with this ridiculous stance against trans people.
Once again, the UK and America are having parallel situations where the party of the left has a faction that is turning against trans people.
Going down to our last minute, a couple of quick stories. Mm-hmm. Trump is ending subsidies for Medicare drug premiums. To keep that in mind when you vote, they're demanding lengthy immigration checks for housing aid for people with HIV.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
And then there's put this up. The State Department at the International AIDS Conference put up a map of Africa and what they're doing for it. And all of it is every country is mislabeled.
Mislabeled every single one of the countries.
And they're blaming AI. Well, maybe you should do your own work.
Maybe don't use AI. You know, there are these things called atlases and maps and all sorts of things that have accurate information.
Couple of quick entertainment notes. Ken Jennings did put his picture up, did a great stand-up for trans people.
Good for Ken.
When people were...
And good for Jeopardy Amy, because I have a feeling that I think he said that she educated him a lot on
absolutely.
Trans issues.
And Spider-Man Brand New Day is the second box office smash of the year.
After the Odyssey.
After the Odyssey. It also has a trans actor.
Yes.
Mekoi Roke. And so we got two trans people.
Mm-hmm. And in the prior Spider-Man movie, there was a white trans actor. This is the first trans actor of color.
And Bowen Yang is taking over for Mary and O'Mary.
Love Bowen.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.